The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
You know, I've been trying to think of how do I introduce my friends that are here today. I've been knowing Marion and Cindy for a bunch of years now. It's probably been 35 years or so. 39 years. Because you were only 2 years old when I met you. That's right. I remember that, just a little girl. We used to pirouette and wear a little full dress and dance. It's been at least that long. 39 years. Oh, my God. What happened? They came to our house. We had a Bible study in our home, and that's where we met them. And these two guys got gloriously saved, hit the ground running, and they don't know how to slow down. Marion and Cindy are just two amazing people. If you got friends like Marion and Cindy, you don't have a thing to worry about, because they are really, really good folks. And I don't want to steal her thunder. She'll tell you all the things she's doing. But I always tell Cindy this, and I really mean it. I always think of you guys as the tip of the sword. I mean, they're out there on the front lines, and they do stuff I wouldn't dream of doing. And they do it in the anointing of God. Cindy goes to places I wouldn't go with unless I had a machine gun to protect myself. But she goes in places that others wouldn't dare go, but she goes in the power and the anointing of the Lord. We will have a special offering for Cindy. The love offering basket is in the back. So before you leave, whatever you put in there will go to Cindy. If you are interested in supporting Cindy's ministries, plural ministries, on a more regular basis, you can do that directly. Or if you ever put anything in the offering basket that says it's for the Collins' ministry, we'll make sure that it gets directly to them, all right? We do support the the Pregnancy Help Center. It used to be the Pregnancy Crisis Center, but it's been renamed to the Help Center. We do support the ministry on a monthly basis, so we do send a check every month. It's just it's what we can afford, but if you want to add to that, we'll be glad to put whatever you designate to Cindy's ministry. We'll send it along with the rest of the money we'll send every month. You do so much, Cindy. I didn't begin to try to describe what you and your husband do, but I'll say this. The reason I asked Cindy to come, she knows what's happening. She's on the inside, not only in Slidell, but in Washington, D.C., nationally and internationally. She's been invited to speak just all over the world in many different places. She goes each year to the Right to Life March in Washington, D.C., which happened a couple of weeks ago. She was there. So I really wanted her to come and give a report of that and whatever else that she's doing, just give us the information. And she is chock full of information. She's got a lot of things she's going to tell us. So with that said and done, I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm just going to let you give a nice warm welcome to Cindy Collins. Amen. My friend.
Okay? Okay. If I, if that starts again, it's because I have too much power. Amen. And I can't help myself. You're just going to have to pray and talk to the Lord about that. That's all that I can say. Because it's increasing. Amen. Amen. And Don Arawis, before I start, could you blow the shofar again? Amen. Thank you. Because I feel it's important in the hour and the time that we're in. We're not fooling around. And so, Don, whenever you're ready.
Amen.
brother, I'm going to ask you at the end, when I'm done, to go ahead and blow it again so that everything's sealed in Jesus' name. I was looking at that, the picture that was up there that said appeal to heaven, and I posted it on Facebook, and I thought, boy, that woman really means business. Because just the expression that's on my face. And then Diane Campbell, who is right, she's holding the appeal to heaven banner with me. She actually comes in from Kansas City to Washington, D.C. whenever the Lord calls her. She's a missionary, a pro-life missionary, and she prays at the Supreme Court, prays at the White House. You know, there's so many unknown intercessors on earth that are known in the courts of heaven. And this is our hour. I just want to encourage you in that. Things are not as they seem. We have to be reporters of the news from heaven and not repeaters of the news of earth. Because what is, and I'll say it again, because you want to write that down, Pat, is that we have to be reporters of the news of heaven and not repeaters of the news of earth. Because President Trump got it right, fake news. Okay? And the more of what is being unfolded here on earth, I will encourage you, the only way that we're going to be able to walk through this is we're going to have a choice. Either we're going to fall away or we're going to fall into the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of, like somebody said, keep your mind on Christ. I was on a prayer line yesterday. I said, I'm keeping my whole body on the Lord because of the things that are going on. Listen, there's no going back. I mean, we've heard the song, though none go with me, I too will follow. Now that's the time that we're in. Scripture talks about that. And we've seen a pattern of things getting ramped up and then going back. Things getting ramped up and going back. There's no going back this time. And, you know, I just want to really encourage you. And I know that that's why Morris and Pat have encouraged me to come today for my part, because the Lord is stirring up the body of Christ. And we can either choose to, as in the past, put the snooze alarm on, turn the alarm off, go back to sleep, and I will say, not in this house, but in some houses, there are people are going to put the snooze alarm on, and they're going to turn the alarm off and go back, and it's going to be a dangerous time for them. I want to encourage you in that. I was sitting here and I was worshiping because I'd been speaking with somebody, and I could feel the presence of the Lord, the fire. And I thank you, Ro and Becky, so much, because I could feel the presence of the Lord in here that strengthens us, and the fire of God. And the person that I was talking to wanted to shut me up, make me, you know, just go on, and didn't want to hear. It wasn't me, but what the Lord's saying in this hour. And I was thinking, well, maybe the proper response would be, you didn't hit it hard enough to them. And for their response would be, what do you mean I didn't hit it hard enough? You didn't hit the snooze alarm hard enough. You know, because the Lord is, things are really being stirred up right now. And how many of you want to be a part of that? I mean, you know, and this is what I want to do with Pat and with Morris. Now, I meant to bring it today, but I got you an Appeal to Heaven banner. Yes. Amen. Because God has taken over. I mean, we'll do our part, but God has taken over. And it's an appeal to heaven. And this was our first flag in this nation. It was an appeal to heaven of crying out to God that God is taking over. So I carried that through the streets of Washington, D.C. That, you see, there were other signs there for the March to Life. And that was the sign that the Lord had directed me to carry through the streets of Washington, D.C. as a declaration with our team. We are crying out to you, Lord. We've done all that we can, all that we know to do, Father. Stop the bloodshed. Yes, yes, we were crying out to you. We don't know what else to do, you know, which is really where we should be anyway, you know. But it was a declaration through the streets of Washington, D.C., and we prayed all throughout the streets because we felt that the Lord wanted us to do that. And then what happens after that, we hear, and I'll go into this more, we hear about what happened in the state of New York with what the governor in New York did. You know, God ripped the masks off. He ripped the veil open because what he signed has actually been going on for 46 years. And we'll go through some of that because it was hidden. But God said, mask off. The curtain, it's everything's out, and we have to decide whose side we're going to be on. The other thing, too, is that right before I went up to the March for Life, I had a dream, and I could. The Lord is releasing more dreams and visions and impressions right now. And so we need to write those down, can voice them in our phone, whatever it is, to go back to them and then counsel with each other to say, Lord, what are you saying? And so we can hear his strategies from heaven. And so as I was laying there, I heard this impression, and it was, I get up early in the morning, and the impression was, El Elyon is coming, the many-breasted one. And I had not heard that name before, El Elyon. Paul Wilbur sings a song. And so I got up, I knew that was the voice of the Lord. And so I went out, you know, I went online, Lord, what does that mean? I wanted to find out right away. The voice of the Lord is precious. El Elyon is our God Most High. El Elyon is our God Most High. The many-breasted one is El Shaddai. So when you read Psalm 91, and this is important for the days ahead, as we're seeing the battle unfold, and we believe the Word of God is true, that He will protect us spiritually and physically. Psalm 91 reads, if we would read it as this one writer said, He who abides in El Elyon will dwell in El Shaddai. Amen. He who abides in El Elyon will dwell in El Shaddai. So when God has come to take over, He will nurture and protect His bride and His children. So, you know, I want to encourage you in that, that no matter what you see, we are reporters of the news from heaven and not repeaters from the news of the earth. We live in a different kingdom, right? And we have to come into agreement. We have to come into agreement with that. I will say that. I'm saying this to myself. I have to come into agreement with who Jesus Christ has said that I am. I have to come into agreement with His Word, of what His Word says, and what His Word, who His Word says that we are as His people. And then in this hour, in the Gideon's army that He's bringing about, we have to come into alignment with those who are following God. And we have to come into alignment with God and alignment with those who are following Him. You know, they're all in. It doesn't mean that we don't reach the lost. And it doesn't mean that we stop praying for those in our families or, you know, in our circles of influence. But in this Gideon's army, the Lord is saying, you know, troops, we've got to tighten up. You know, mount up, exactly, brother. And we've got to understand the times. And the Lord goes before us. He's the one, as Becky said, He's the one that fights the battles. In this hour, He has already started. Have we not seen this the past couple of years? And we have to choose to submit, surrender, and follow Him. Not get ahead of Him, not do our own thing, but to follow Him. And not only that, but work with each other. So that, like, if Pat's hearing something and she says, I had this dream last night, or I felt this impression, and Becky has another impression or dream or vision, and then we start to counsel with each other, I've gotten this piece and I've gotten that piece. We come together with the strategies of the Lord. And we also know how to effectively pray. Okay? So I wanted to go ahead and let me do one last thing. The Lord has called this church to be a place of refuge. and a place of healing and a place of new beginnings. Yeah. Amen. The sign's out on the street, you know, and it's next to a restaurant. So it's a feeding trough also. Amen. And a place of healing. So, you know, I agree with that. I'm going to align with my leaders, you know. And we're going to work together. I'm not going to buck against them. We're going to work together and press in. Hey, listen, it only takes one. And only the enemy tries to lie to us. Oh, well, it's not this and this. He's a liar. It only takes one with the Lord. And so the Lord will bring in from the highways and byways. And I know last time I came, I've said it before. This place is a refuge. It's a place of healing. There may be a reason why the Lord has kept seemingly the numbers smaller, because it's a place of intimacy. People are not going to get lost. They're going to be cared for. They're going to be loved. They're going to be accepted. They're not going to be outcast, you know. And people like me that Morris and Pat met, you know, 37 years ago, when I was on drugs, alcohol, multiple abortions, out on the street, you know, everything, they loved me. Pat had a vision. You know, as she was praying, I had just gotten saved. Marion and I had just gotten saved. I went to your house. I had my overalls on. Amen. I still am on the inside. Yeah. But the power of God came down in their house. And a radical encounter with the Lord. And let me tell you, the lost and the broken, they need a radical encounter. We need a radical encounter of the Lord. We don't need religion, right? We need relationship. We need who we see Jesus Christ is and who he says are his friends. Not only his friends, but his beloved friends. And, you know, there's a reason why Pat and Morris both, but because Pat and I have been together, she has stored the Word of God in her heart. And that is a weapon, a powerful, powerful weapon. I'll get to my presentation. But one day I was over at the center. There was a young man that came in, and his girlfriend was pregnant, and he had just gotten out of incarceration, having a difficult time finding a job and everything. But he had been ministered to when he was in jail. And so we went ahead and we were talking, and I felt a mother's love for him. I didn't know him, but I felt a mother's love for him. I knew that was the Spirit of the Lord placing that in my heart. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I'm seeing you that you have known Jesus since a young boy. And something happened to you. The Spirit of prophecy came on me. The Spirit of prophecy can come on us in Walmart, out in the driveway, at work, while Don's on a Xerox call, you know, or the Spirit of prophecy is coming on us, and we cannot hold him back. So I went ahead and I said, this is what I'm seeing, and you're a mighty man of God. There's a call on your life. And I could see tears starting to come, because it was the presence of the Lord. And I asked him, I said, what happened? I had to listen to his heart. And he said, well, I got away from the Lord. And then he said, I was around people. And he said, and I asked one leader, I just didn't know where God came from. And I needed to know where God came from. And he told me I shouldn't ask those types of questions. And started to reject him. And he had already gone through fatherhood rejection and a lot of other pushing away. So the Lord said, tell him that's a good question. I said, that's a great question. I said, would you like to know that? And he said, yeah, I'd really like to know it. And I said, well, let's take out the Bible, because that answer's right in there. So we looked at John 1:1, and I had him read it, the word. And he went, in the beginning. And then he went ahead and he read the whole scripture. Tears started coming down his eyes, and the veil was lifted from his face. And you could see the darkness that was on him literally leave, because it was the power of the Word of God. And then I wanted to say something, and Father speaks to me, "Be quiet, Cindy. You don't need to add anything to this. Let me do my work in my son." And you could see just the light of Jesus Christ lifted on him. So, Pat, that's just back at you. I just want to encourage you. The Word of God is powerful. All we have to do is use the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. We're going to see the power of the Word of God more and more in these days for healing, deliverance, and everything. So I wanted to go ahead and get both of you to, so I don't get by the speakers and cause a noise. It's a little booklet that we wrote, and it's called Radiant Hope. And we have a couple more of these, but I have more of them over at the office. And it's a devotional of words that the Lord's given us to go ahead and bring hope to the broken, and especially those that have gone through deep trauma. So, Jim, I'd like to go ahead, and we're just going to open up with a little video that's going to sort of bring you, again, of what the Lord is doing in this local community. I do a lot of national and international, as Moore said, but this is our home territory. And so, and I said, this is a place of refuge, and the Lord is bringing people here. That is because we want to leave a legacy for our children. Like, I want to leave a legacy for my children and for my grandchildren and for this chosen generation. So, you know, we each know that we have a certain amount of time here on this earth, and that the Lord has a reason why each one of us is living upon this earth right now. And he also wants us to receive his healing. He wants us to receive his forgiveness. And he wants us in that to walk out his plan and let him do the leading. So the Lord has been very gracious to us. He's been very gracious to me in the forgiveness of my sin of multiple abortions. And with that, drug addiction and alcoholism and, you know, a lot of things. But the one that has hurt me the most, and it hurt my children the most, is abortion and the killing of my children. And the deception of the lie that I believed when I was a young woman, and how that spiraled me into a lifestyle of destructive behavior. So, you know, that's what I want to focus in on right now, because of where our nation is right now. You've seen that with our local ministry, and as Morris and Pat said, you know, we do need help over there, and really it is in the area of financial help. The Lord has blessed us abundantly with some resources, and every time he does that, and that's, we have enough diapers and formula we always need. And diapers we need, especially the larger sizes of size 2 and size 3 these days. But the Lord has given us other resources, and all that I can say is when that happens, that means that something's coming. You know, and something's coming. So we're being very mindful of that, and the resources that we do receive over there, when we get overflow, then we share those with other ministries. To be a conduit of blessing. And some of those items have actually, we're partnered with another ministry, and they send some of those items, if we have a lot of overflow, over to Israel and into the Ukraine also. And we also let some of those flow into other pregnancy centers, that some that are in the New Orleans area and in other areas where their community is not as generous as our community. So there's a lot, just like we're seeing here with New Beginnings, there's a lot that goes out of our little center that the Lord uses it to impact the world. You know, it's not large numbers. One person can, or one ministry can impact the world, walking in the humility and the love of Jesus Christ. Just as Roe was singing this morning, the Lord loved us first, and it's his love, I know, that compels me. Because of, I love Jesus so much. And Jesus says that he's close to the brokenhearted. Now, I can read that a couple of ways, but I want to be where Jesus is. Because he says that he's close to the brokenhearted. So, and, you know, we always feel his presence. You know, there, you know, one of those pictures was for years I had gone down to Bourbon Street and ministered in the strip clubs down there. There were about 12 of the strip clubs, and we were able to get into about eight to 10 of them and minister either every couple of weeks or every month. And many broken women and broken men down there that work there. And we would bring the love of Jesus, and we'd have prayer time, and some of the women and some of the young men from the Slidell area, a couple of them that I saw when they were in high school also, they got out of there, and they got set free, and they're restored. They're walking in restoration now, you know, as well as their children. So no matter what your testimony is, like, that's part of my past. It's my testimony. We allow the Lord. He's going to use that to take us back into the enemy's camp and plunder, do damage, and bring the fire of God into those places in Jesus' name. And the Lord looks at all ages. I'm a secret agent because they think that I'm harmless. I was in my late 50s then, but now, you know, in my 60s, well, she can't do anything. So I'm a secret agent. You're a secret agent, you know. Just, you know, I want you to think of that. So, you know, what we're going to do is I want to build this to hope. And we're going to focus in on what's going on now. Again, I have information here about the ministry that we'll hand out later on. It'll be available later on. And if you have any questions about the Pregnancy Help Center or Speak Hope or any of the ministries that we do, including healing from abortion, then we can talk about that later on, or later on this week, or get together with Morris and Pat if you want more information. And I know that the Lord's, again, going to use this place as a place of healing because I've seen it. Amen. But I want to bring us up to date as to what's going on in our nation right now and what we've all heard, you know, with the, how many of you heard what Governor Cuomo did? Okay. How many of us knew that abortion was legal, had legalities throughout all 9 months of pregnancy? Okay? Right. It's through all 9 months of pregnancy. And not in every state, now not in Louisiana, but what happened was, and we're going to go ahead and Jim's going to cue up a little video of Sandra Cano, but what happened back in 1973 with Roe v. Wade, a woman by the name of Norma McCorvey, who had never been raped, she met with an attorney. The first time she met with the attorney was in a bar over a pitcher of beer, asking her to sign a legal affidavit saying that she had been raped and that she wanted an abortion. And Norma had never been raped. And when it was explained to her, because Norma did not have a high education, she had no more than a ninth grade education, when it was explained to her, she thought that it was about birth control. So she went ahead and she signed it. And later on, when Norma was working in an abortion center and working in the abortion industry, she was in this abortion center, and she walked by what was called the parts room. And so she opened the door up in the parts room, and that's where they kept the baby's heads, arms, legs, limbs from the later term aborted babies. Okay, and then when she realized what was going on, and it was shortly after that was her conversion to Jesus, and that was through the faithfulness of a mother and a little girl and a pastor that kept on reaching out to her throughout the years. And she began a ministry called Roe No More. And then she took her case, Roe versus Wade, back to the Supreme Court through what's called a Rule 60 motion to ask for the ruling to be reversed, and the court would not hear her case. Now, I was up there when Norma took that to the court. And there were many of us through a ministry called Operation Outcry, women who had had abortion in their past, that were standing with Norma And we were praying in front of the court, and the court came and said they weren't going to hear her case, which meant they weren't going to hear her voice. So I want you to hear these things about the voicelessness, how women's voices have been suppressed, how women have been lied to, they've been used, manipulated, deceived, taken advantage of. And then there was Sandra Cano. Sandra was the companion case, which is called Doe versus Bolton. Sandra was a young mother. She was in an abusive marriage. She had four living children. She was pregnant with her fifth. And so Sandra's parents came to her and presented a document to her with an attorney that Sandra thought was to get legal custody of her children, and that she would be able to get that legal custody. And her parents were forcing her to have an abortion. And Sandra, when Sandra found out that this was that they were forcing her to have an abortion, she fled to Oklahoma because she did not want to have an abortion. That had not even entered her mind. And so she contacted her parents. It was her mom and the attorney. They were still saying, you know, we want you to have an abortion. And again, Sandra did not have much more than a ninth grade education. And Sandra said, I will not come back until you stop this with me forcing an abortion, having an abortion. And so went ahead, she went back, and it wasn't until she saw the news one night that she saw that her name was attached to Doe versus Bolton. And she never signed the affidavit, the legal affidavit. It's fraudulent. And so when it went through the court system, and you'll hear her speak in this next video, is that through the court system, the justices said, well, what if this, who is this person? What is if this is a real, if this isn't a real person? And the response of another justice was, it doesn't matter if it's a real person, we're just going to assume if there's this is a real person. There was a no discovery, interrogatory, all of the procedures and steps for law, they were just completely bypassed to push not only Roe v. Wade, but the companion case, Doe v. Bolton. Again, a woman was used, manipulated, pressured, coerced, lied to, all of those things. Both of these women, when they needed help, this is what happened. So I want us to think higher from the news of heaven and see what's happening to women, because that's still going on, that women just don't know it. And a lot of this younger generation doesn't understand the roots of what's going on. I knew this, but then I read it again. And I'll send you the link more so that you and Pat can have it. I read it again, and I wept last week because I knew Sandra. She raised two of her grandchildren that were autistic so that they wouldn't have to go into government care. She loved the Lord, and she had to live with this link to her name until she passed away. Norma loved the Lord also, but the depth of the trauma of, by the time Norma had passed away, probably might have been 55 million babies had been killed at that time. It just did severe damage with Norma and also other things that Norma had taken, you know. So I want you to think about what's happening not only to the babies, but what has happened to women. And women, it's time for us to rise up and our voices to be heard. So, Jim, would you go ahead, and now, this is Sandra Cano, and this is a little bit of the history, again, of Doe v. Bolton.
Even more so than just the lies that abortion is good for women in Roe, Sandra never wanted an abortion. She was used by the legal system. And Sandra, as a member of the legal profession, and as a member of the bar of the United States Supreme Court, I want to apologize to you on behalf of the legal profession for the way that you were used and abused to bring abortion on demand. Her case created the health exception, and Georgia already had a liberal therapeutic abortion law. Texas had an 1854 ban. this state had said, well, if three doctors say you need an abortion for a woman's health, we'll give you one. And during the pendency of the case, they found three doctors, apparently, and were going to give her an abortion. And Sandra fled to Oklahoma to avoid having an abortion performed on her. And they said, if you come back and don't say anybody, we won't make you get an abortion. So the state only knew her as Mary Doe. They'd never seen her. They didn't know who she was. And there was no interrogatories, no discovery, no questioning. At the Supreme Court level, one of the justices said, how do we even know this woman is real? And the other justice said, well, what does it matter? We'll assume she's real. And as Sandra said before the Senate Judiciary Committee, it does matter. She's a real person. And so, Sandra, would you like to say just a few words and lead us in a prayer for the end of Doe v. Bowman?
Well, Heavenly Father, we come today and we're praying for an end to abortion. And we know it's going to happen. We just have to hang in there and we have to keep going strong because you are the one that can make it happen. We're going to see an end to abortion. We just, like I said, we have to stay strong. And Father, bless everyone that's still in this battle, that's going forward, putting all their efforts, because we know we will see light at the end of the darkness. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Doe v. Bowman, I never participated. I knew nothing about it 2 years later. When I did find out, I've involved the Justice Foundation. They've been helping. We're still going strong, and we're still fighting that battle. But they never heard my voice when Doe v. Bowman was argued that day in the Supreme Court. The only evidence they had that there was a Mary Doe, that there was an abortion case, was by an affidavit. This one affidavit is all they had. No person, no say, just an affidavit. The affidavit did not have my signature. It was a false signature. But because of passing of time and limitations, I've had to live with this and keep fighting. But there is a way. We have to keep going. There will be a day that there will be an end, not only to Doe v. Bowman, but for abortion forever, because we're going to save lives.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you could see, you know, from Sandra's voice, Sandra went home to be with the Lord a few years ago, and the Lord's just put a passion in my heart to be more of her voice for justice to come, you know, to Sandra and to Norma and to the over 61 million babies that have been killed by abortion and every woman that's been hurt by abortion that can't speak, you know, whose heart is still broken, who can't connect the dots back to seeing that her broken relationships, thoughts of suicide, breast cancer, fibrocystic disease, immune disorders, mental and emotional problems, not being able to connect to her living children, depression, guilt, distancing from the Lord, not being able to receive His love or receive His forgiveness. All of those things, whether it be a day or decades after, I've ministered and listened to women in their hearts that had abortions 40 years in their past, 45 years in their past, and they've carried that as a secret deep in their heart and between them and the Lord in just such deep, deep pain. And many of those women are in the body of Christ. There's 1 in 5 American women that's had an abortion. And Ro, I want to encourage you, because what the Lord's told me is there's going to be a lot of healing through song. You know, and we could feel the presence of the Lord come in, because the trauma is so deep in a person, in a woman's body, when she goes through an abortion, and this is in a surgical abortion, that it's the only time that murder takes place with inside another human being's body, because that baby's living. So what happens is there's murder that takes place, and that's what abortion is. We heard our president say, we can no longer allow these babies to be ripped from their mother's wombs. Every life is made. These babies are made in the holy image of God, he said. He said that twice. He said that with the address to the nation, And then he also said that at the prayer breakfast the following day. So that's a prophetic voice, you know, that's coming out. So there's many, many, many broken women. And I know even in our community, because we're in generational abortion now. I mean, we have grandmothers, mothers, and granddaughters. And so we have generational curses that are breaking off. And if, you know, this may be listened to after this service. So if there's anybody that you're working with or anybody that you know or anybody that's listening, there's a couple of websites. There's lahope.net, lahope.net, and that's for healing after abortion, lahope.net. And that will go ahead and that will connect you with places all around the world where you can receive help. There's also a ministry called OperationOutcry.org. Again, that's OperationOutcry.org. And that ministry is for those like me that we've received a measure of healing, and we want to use those testimonies, like Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies, and we love not our lives even unto death. You know, the Lord has given me grace and love and a great husband and a great family and great friends to pray and strengthen me. This is my life's calling, that not only was I trapped in darkness, but now I'm using that to bring light and truth. And loving not my life even unto death, which means also what people say about me, because I know I'm a daughter of the King. Amen. And I'm doing what my Jesus has asked me to do. And he's leading me, and like he's called me to come here and speak today. So that's OperationOutcry.org, and there's over 5,000 legal testimonies that have been gathered by women who have had abortions like me all throughout the nation. Those have been entered into the Supreme Court. They've been entered into the Louisiana legislature to affect legislation and laws so that our voices are being heard, like you heard Sandra in the beginning, the voice wasn't heard. And then there's another one that anybody can, and we really need to have your voices sign on to this. It's called themoraloutcry.com, themoraloutcry.com. And you can pull that up on your smartphone or on your iPad or your computer. And what it is it's a declaration that you can go ahead and you can just sign online, and it's saying that you want abortion to end. As an American citizen, you sign it one time, and they're gathering signatures, and these signatures were just recently used in the case in Arkansas for the heartbeat bill. And so you go ahead, and that's something, we're looking at things that, what can we do? And I'll be talking about that, you know, towards the end a little bit more too. But it's themoraloutcry.com. And so there are voices rising up. Voices were silenced and not heard. Our voices need to speak up in every opportunity. Again, themoraloutcry.com. Okay, so, and I do have a handout on this, and everybody should be able to get one at the end. But I know, I think Pat Morris handed this out. Last month, we were trying to keep everybody informed. You know, sometimes people say that they may not know, I didn't know this. Well, abortion's been around for 46 years. Were we not listening? Were we not seeing? Were we not understanding? But the Lord's so merciful. He's giving us an opportunity right now. So this is that abortion was the number one cause of death worldwide in 2018. With more than 41 million children killed before birth. The 41.9 million babies developing and destined for birth within weeks or months had their lives terminated prematurely through abortion. Abortion is the primary cause of death worldwide, with 10 infants aborted for every 33 lives. 60% of black babies were destroyed by abortion in America. Dr. Alveda King, who calls this genocide, and she also calls it a crime against humanity. You may have seen Alveda is coming out more on Fox News and others, and they wanted to talk about what happened in Virginia with what happened with the governor wearing blackface. And Alveda prays about everything and every opportunity, and she said, well, I call this a crime against humanity. You know, what has happened to my brothers and sisters in the womb, that 60% of black babies were destroyed by abortion in America last year. That's up from a percentage of 36%, so it's increasing. Because 70% of all abortion centers by Planned Parenthood are in black communities. So it's genocide is what happens, which says to me, when there's an attack on a generation or on a people group, if we look at biblical history in Pharaoh and Herod and also in our Supreme Court, it says that the deliverer is coming. And he's using that. He's going to use that people group. Amen? So we need, and I'm saying this as women too, we need to understand it and come into agreement and alignment with the Lord and understand what the enemy's trying to do in destruction. And our what we're going to do is lay down our lives. We're going to bring truth. We're going to be life, Jesus love, and Jesus healing. Amen? Okay, so we bring that up to date of what we're seeing happen. Boy, it just seems, what is going on? You know, they're talking about infanticide and all these things. Well, I'm thinking, well, okay, Lord, I'm seeking the news of heaven. Well, heaven must be coming closer to earth because we're seeing demons manifest. That's what's going on. Who in their right mind would be thinking all of this stuff? The presence of God must be drawing near. You know, if we look at the biblical accounts of the demoniac, you know, of when Jesus entered the room or the area, they just started manifesting. So I'm saying, well, Lord, then this is your coming, Lord. You're here. So in New York, Governor Cuomo signed the Reproductive Health Act on January 22nd, the 46th anniversary of the Roe decision. Not only did he sign it, but then they celebrated and they turned the antenna on the Empire State Building pink. Which really, and it was pointing up, and I'm thinking, boy, Lord, you know, if that's not an affront to you, that's the enemy, that's Baal, that's Molech, you know, they're all doing that. And then there were some memes out there with blood coming down the Empire State Building. And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in New York also that have been fighting this battle. Okay, so the new law permits abortion after the 24th week of a pregnancy when there is an absence of fetal viability, baby's heartbeat, or the abortion is necessary to protect the patient's life or health. And that means psychological health, mental health, familial health. But the other thing that this did was it struck down the feticide law, which means that if a baby is killed inside the womb and the mother wants it, there's no law to protect that child. And the murderer is not charged with murder. Maybe charged with murder of the mother, but not murder of the baby. This came about last week because this law was signed. There was a woman that had been killed by her boyfriend, stabbed her in the abdomen. Baby was killed, and the woman was killed also. But there was the second charge of feticide because of this law. He was not charged with feticide or killing the baby. Okay, a law introduced by a Democratic lawmaker in Virginia, which we've heard, would also have reduced restrictions on late-term abortions to protect the mother's health and would have decreased the number of physicians whose opinions were required to approve an abortion to one from three. Thankfully, the bill was set aside in committee, and that was in Virginia. But now we're seeing more and more states, New Mexico, they're all trying to go this all-out assault on the protection of women and life in the womb. And we'll get to Louisiana. But we want to look for hope. This week, lawmakers in Tennessee introduced a bill that would ban abortion in the state if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe. In Louisiana, we did that in 2006. Yes, that was part of our hurricane recovery. I testified on that with Senator Ben Nevers, and we were told, you're wasting time. You should be concentrating on this and concentrating on that. What if the woman's raped? Senator Nevers is a Democrat. And he went ahead and he said, you don't understand. I wrestled with God one night, and he would not let me go until I introduced this bill. And he told me, no rape exception. If you've ever seen Gary Cooper, that's who he reminds me of, is Gary Cooper. He's a godly man, and he stood there. I mean, we stood there. There were actually probably only three of us. Well, three of us. And then more, more people came, but it was Senator Nevers. And so we have, it's a post-Roe Activation Act, and that's Virginia and other states are doing the same thing, which means that when Roe is overturned, we speak prophetically, that it's turned back to the states. And so each state has to have this law in place that says the same, like with ours, it went back to making abortion illegal like it was before Roe versus Wade. And it also has protections for the mother, and if it's her life, if her life is at risk, doctors and her doctor and the mom, not an abortionist, her doctor, and she can go ahead and make some decisions. And most women do choose to carry their babies to term, even if there is a threat of life. Similarly, in South Carolina, they've introduced a personhood legislation that would establish a right to life and give rights to a child in the womb. Lawmakers in Arkansas passed a bill by 29-6 that would likewise prohibit abortions in the state if Roe were declared unconstitutional. The bill is with one in Tennessee and Louisiana, you know, the same thing. So these are things that I'm saying we need to pray for. I'm bringing these out, but we need to pray for these things. And they'll be on a sheet of paper that you can go ahead and pick up. But I want to just go ahead and bring us up to date to Louisiana and then just move us into healing. We have one more set of videos that we're going to look at because we want to pray for healing of the millions of women like myself that have been broken by abortion. What's wrong with America? It's convulsing because of the pain of abortion. And the blood is crying out. Jesus is coming to heal, and we're going to be a part of that. Okay, in Louisiana, the Supreme Court delayed a law. It was the Unsafe Abortion Act that requires doctors performing abortions to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals within 30 miles. The law was enacted in 2014. This is why we must persevere in prayer. This is not drive-through prayer. We have to persevere in prayer. Our prayers are going to go maybe even longer than when we're here. I've seen that personally, the effect of that happening in my own life. In 2014, I testified about having a botched abortion and what the abortionist did to me in telling me to get out when it was evident that something had gone wrong. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals went ahead and placed that in their opinion to uphold the Louisiana law. That's why it's so important to pray for women to be healed by Jesus, and the ones that he's calling out to speak and tell their stories can speak into legislation and tell the nation what abortion has done. So repentance can come. Okay. So the decision was contested by two anonymous Louisiana abortionists and sent to the Supreme Court requesting a stay or stopping the law from going into effect. When I look at this, the abortionists were anonymous, which a woman never sees most times the abortionist before the abortion, and she never sees the abortionist after. There is no doctor-patient relationship. So just using the terms anonymous, I thought that was very telling. And we understand that on Thursday evening, the court came out and said that they're going to allow the stay to remain in place until the full court decides whether or not to take the Louisiana case in the fall of 2019. Now, you may be seeing on the news, it's been blocked, you know, all of this stuff. The pro-abortion community calls it a victory. That's a lie. That's not what's happened. What's happened is it's been put on hold. You know, Isaiah 28 says, and I want to read this to you, and it's been a scripture that's been used a lot for the end of abortion. It says, I will cancel the bargain you made to cheat death, beginning with verse 18, and I will overturn your deal to dodge the grave. When the terrible enemy sweeps through, you will be trampled into the ground. Again and again, that flood will come, morning after morning, day and night, until you are carried away. The message will bring terror to your people. The bed you have made is too short to lie on, and the blankets are too narrow to cover you. The Lord will come as he did against the Philistines at Mount Perazim and against the Amorites at Gibeon. He will come to do a strange thing. He will come to do an unusual deed. I believe that the Lord's doing an unusual deed through Louisiana. It's strange and unusual, and that's why we need to say, Lord, what are you saying? They said they blocked it. No, the Lord says, come to me. Look at the scripture. I'm doing something unusual. Because there were five justices, four that normally do vote on a more what's called liberal side, and one was our chief justice, John Roberts. Well, but what happened was, what was going on his heart? Because on the prior Supreme Court ruling on admitting privileges, which was in Texas, Justice Roberts voted for those that voted to have those admitting privileges take place. The law was not upheld. Texas law was not upheld. But it seems like he voted differently on Louisiana. Could the Lord be doing an unusual thing? Because now this whole Supreme Court case will most likely go to the full court. They will have a hearing. It could affect the laws in a much broader way. And not only that, but you'll see this in your little piece of information. It says that this is just a temporary stay, and that if the court decides not to hear the case, then guess what? The law is upheld. And so I want you not to take time, but I want you to read this, and again, just to encourage you. I know I'm going long, but I wanted this last portion. I just want to go ahead and show you this, because this is the effect of abortion on women. This is going to be probably about 10 minutes. And then I just want us to go ahead and close in prayer. I'm going to give you some key points of things that you guys can do. And then I'd like to have it to be an ongoing conversation, Pat and Morris, if people come up and say what we can do, because I just feel like each church can do one thing, and possibly yours is intercession, or possibly it may be from time to time taking one young woman, the whole church, just being a spiritual mom. Not a lot of work, but just loving, you know, what you're gifted at. But Jim, why don't you go ahead and run this? This is going to be very telling for what abortion has done to women. It's going to run it back to back. If abortion was a prescription, what I would see on the label as the side effects are a lifetime of pain, alcoholism, drug addiction, nightmares, thoughts of suicide, hearing your baby scream in the night, never being able to change the choice that you made.
If the true risk of abortion were told before a woman got an abortion, she would never choose abortion. The risk of abortion for me included a lowered self-esteem, that it led to depression and suicide attempts. The risk of my abortion included a near divorce experience, an inability to bond with my children, an inability to accept love from my future husband. It included a feeling of rejection because of the shame and guilt of the abortion, so that affected every relationship that I had for many years.
You experienced severe guilt, depression, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, sexual dysfunction, relationship disorders, bonding issues with your living children.
Anger, guilt, bitterness,
numbness,
pain, low self-esteem,
emotional pain,
unworthiness,
feeling that you're empty. And you can't be filled,
no
matter how much alcohol you drink or how much you're being hugged by men or, you know,
the relationships,
loneliness.
For me, and any woman that had the abortion, it would say danger. You'll withdraw. You'll become bitter.
Danger, hazardous to your health.
Angry.
They call spiritual death, self-hatred, shame. Depression could lead to suicide.
Emptiness, loneliness,
resentment, torture.
I was just, you know, thoughts of suicide and
beyond no recognition.
Just acting out sexually with men and
pure slavery,
and stealing, and just anything and everything. Try to fix the void and the emptiness that I had inside me.
Humiliation.
No
self-respect, no self-esteem, no hope, no dreams, no nothing. When the reality is like that, and what you've done, you need an act of God to pull you out of it, and that's what it's going to take.
The list goes on and on. There's not enough room on a packet of pills to list the side effects of abortion.
Jim, we're gonna go ahead and stop.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that there's a second video, and it's about eight minutes long, and it's on my Facebook page. But I'm gonna go ahead, and we're gonna stop right here. And it's some of the same women, but it's very, 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 very telling. And we watched it last night, and this has been done a few years ago, and it's just still impactful, because the women that you saw from Texas that were incarcerated, the first woman that spoke, that had the white outfit on, she was a registered nurse at one time. And after she had an abortion, her life was never the same. She ended up on crack cocaine. And that led her into prison. And my friend Rhonda, who's on there also, she has a ministry that goes into the prisons and ministers to women, found a high rate of women who were incarcerated had abortion in their past. So, you know, I want to wrap this up, but in just telling you that there's a harvest. The harvest is ready. And just to encourage you all that no matter what we see, we have to keep our whole bodies on the Lord, you know. And what he's saying as his children and his daughters and sons, and he's prepared us all along the way, no matter where we've been, whether we've been in the home, outside of the home, wherever, everything he's used for this hour. And so take all of that and come together in this church, in this place of refuge, to do your part, our part, for our community and for, and in our community, we're affecting our nation. So I just want to close this out with a dream that I had, and then I want to pray over you, and then Dawn, if you could get ready, okay? In 2018, I had a dream, standing in a church building filled with bright light. I was standing next to a daughter. It was an old-style building, small with a steeple. I couldn't see the steeple, but knew it was there. On the inside, the building was very clean. I could hear a song and see the words that were written. The words written on the wall were not in any language that I knew or others knew. I sensed these were words of the Spirit of God. As I began to sing the new song, the words came out in English, words I could understand. I was amazed. The words were over America. The words, as I can remember, were Jesus is King over America. Jesus is King. Our God is mighty. It was a beautiful, powerful song. Others looked at me singing, and they began to sing too. The song became more powerful as we sang together. Outside, I sensed there was a storm. The storm was swirling, but there was no sound to the storm. It was getting darker outside with gray clouds, but very bright, very, very bright inside. Even brighter the more we sang. Bright light that shined on radiant white inside the church. I believe, getting ready to burst forth. The more I sang, and my daughter sang her song, the more I felt the presence and Spirit of the Lord filling the place and filling me. We each have a song to sing together. And I believe that's part of what the Lord led Roe and Becky to lead us in the presence of the Lord. And I believe in this place. And so I just want to close in prayer. Okay? And then, Dawn, if you would just seal us in the shofar when I'm done. Father, we just thank you for this holy time, Lord, that you have ordained from the foundations of the earth. Father, for New Beginnings Fellowship, New Beginnings Church, a place of new beginnings, Father, in Jesus' name, for Slidell, Father, for the highways and the byways and the sojourners, the broken, the lowly, the lost, the forgotten, the discounted, Father, the rejected, Father, the not accepted, Lord, you have said, come here, all are welcome. All are welcome. And we send out that decree, Father, into the community. All are welcome. Come here to and find your new beginning in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Father, as Becky and Roe, Father, and the team have with worship, Lord, that your presence fills this house, Lord. Father, just like it did on Azusa Street, Father, and in other areas, that when people get into the parking lot, they feel the presence of the Lord. When they come, go down Robert Boulevard, Lord, they feel to draw in. They're in the restaurant. They feel to come over, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you equip this place. Father, you bring this team closer together, one in the Lord, one with each other, Lord. But you bring others to help lift up Pat and Morris's arms and the others our arms, Lord. Bring them, Father. And Father, I just bless this place, Father. Let it be a place that will heal those broken by abortion, Father, by your Spirit. It won't take long. It'll be a quick thing, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We give you all glory, Father, for what you've done today. And Father, in Jesus' name, we seal this with the sound of the shofar. Thank you, Lord.
I agree with Cindy, and I just want to just add something that Cindy said. I believe we're right on the edge of seeing this thing stopped. Thank God for Donald J. Trump being elected President of the United States. And this man, I encourage you to pray for him. What he goes through every day is unbelievable. His mannerisms may not be, people say he's not presidential. You know, I don't care what he sounds like. I like what he does. And when he speaks up boldly at the State of the Union address, right in the heart of so much opposition, and talked about babies being murdered, that's pretty strong for a president of the United States to do. He's elected two Supreme Court judges who are conservative, originalists in their interpretation of the Constitution that we believe will be part of the votes to overturn Roe v. Wade. We need to pray, continue to pray, to become aware and learn more. Somebody said, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Nick said this, I can't remember who said it, but we use the words fetuses and we use the words abortion. I think it's time to start calling it what it is. It's baby murder. It's baby murder. These are babies. And they're being murdered in their mother's womb. And Cindy, when you said that, I've never thought about that before, where a murder is done within another human's body. That is a terrible picture. So let's use our voices, use our money, use our talent and ability to add it to what Cindy's doing and others are doing to see if we can't have the rejoicing victory within the next, maybe even the next year. Like, I mean, it's possible. Within the next year, there are cases that are being brought up before the Supreme Court, and if they vote the way we believe they'll vote, with the new conservative judges, we could see Roe v. Wade overturned. We could see it done. The millions of babies who've been murdered is unconscionable. How God lets us live, I don't know, with that stain on our nation. And I wish that the, I was at the Ministerial Alliance of Greater St. Tammany, which is by its nature a predominantly black Ministerial Alliance here at St. Tammany. When Ray Larry read part of what you wrote about 60% of the black babies being aborted, you would think that that would be well known in the black community, and it's not known. I mean, there was almost a gasp in the room when he said that. The voices need to let the black community know that they are supporting primarily the Democrat Party, which is leading the way for the murder of babies. And the word needs to get out. You need to be bold. I brought Cindy here to educate you some, to hear her voice, and to take what you've heard today and do something with it. Don't just say, well, that was interesting. Use the information, let it change your life, and then use your changed life to make a difference. It only takes one person. Only takes one person to make a difference, and you can be that person. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your divine hand working unseen to change the course of our nation. We believe, Lord, that the murder of babies can stop because you can stop it. In and of ourselves, we have no ability, but in you and in the name of Jesus, things can happen that can change the course, of a nation and the world. Father, I ask your blessings upon Cindy and Marion and the entire family. Thank you for bringing them here today. I ask you to watch over them, to keep them safe. Father, let our dinner this afternoon be a time of great joy for us as we think about Valentine's Day, which is a time of remembering of our love for one another. We thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, and the whole group said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.